Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Dave Stoop and Dr. Sherry Denham, and your phone calls here today on New Life Live, 1-800-229-3000. Come join us for New Life.
I loved your show. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. What can we do for you?
I should talk to a therapist?
You definitely need...
I should go unload on somebody.
What's the question about that?
Whether I'm saved, because I'm just nuttier than a fruitcake.
Well, as Steve said, if being nutty can't equal being saved, he and I are in trouble as well, especially him.
That's the first really honest thing I think I've heard you say, and I'm not trying to be mean. That sounded honest.
And you work at listening to her.
Your mom is a marriage vulture, and she sits on your shoulder, and what you want her to become is a hummingbird. Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Sherry Denham. Hello, Dr. Sherry Denham.
Hello. How are you?
You know, I've never seen you in denim.
I wear denim a lot.
Okay. And Dr. Denham.
Never on
denim. I live in denim, yeah.
And I've never seen you standing on a stoop. Anyway,
no, I sit on
silly.
A stoop.
Yeah.
But I've seen him in a stupor. No, I've never seen you in a stupor. Right. Never.
Hey, we're glad you're with us here today. If you want to join us on the radio, 1-800-229-3000. That's the phone number, 1-800-229-3000. Come and join us. We're going to be doing this program for 6 hours forward today. And this afternoon, that'll be in about 4 hours from now, 4 through 7 hours from now, we'll be having an expert on adolescent treatment. So if you want to call somebody that's got a really crummy adolescent, no, not crummy, I mean, you know, they're struggling with their child, then that'd be a good time for them to call in. We'd love to have them. I want to start the program with an every man's battle testimony. I want you to hear this. This is from a guy that attended our last every man's battle workshop. It's a truly amazing what can happen in a weekend there. And so here he is. Listen to this.
I came back a completely different person and stopped lying to myself, lying to my wife. I think one of the biggest statements there was, are you wanting to be free from the sin and live a God-given life, or are you wanting to be free from the consequences? And just being there with the other guys that are going through some of the same struggles, it really hit me to where I just still trying to put up a front. I was, you know, crying but trying to hide it from everybody, and because we were in a room full of about 30 people, and I was just crying and letting it out that I'm ready for the life God gave me. I mean, he's blessed me so much. With my marriage has been wonderful for the past 6 months, and we had had such struggles in the past, and it was just an answer to my prayers. And, you know, it's funny because it's like you think once you have that answer to your prayer, this is going to fix it. Mm-hmm. And I had it all. I mean, I had it all in every sense of it, and I still went back to that junk. Mm-hmm. Mm.
Well, you know, I had an email from somebody that was at the weekend, this past weekend, and he was just talking about how he was so glad that I suggested he go because it just changed everything. There are really very few things you can do in life where everything changes. That's one of them. So call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If someone you love or care about is struggling with sexual integrity, you know, I've talked about this before. You hear all these people over here struggling with right and wrong and being moral or immoral, and you miss all of this other life over here once you get this thing taken care of. It's like an alcoholic. Do I drink, not drink today? What am I going to do? Am I going to stay sober? And then you get in recovery, and you see this whole other life unfold where you're on mission, you've got purpose and meaning, and you're fully human, fully alive. Or you can just stay over there in that little box and just struggle. That's right, wrong, yeah. Good, bad, yes, no, all day
long. It's a horrible
long.
Way to live.
It is. And no wonder you get suicidal sometimes or want to give up. Because, hey, listen, life is way, way, way far beyond that, better than that old thing. Anyway, we'll take this break and come back. Our phone number is 1-800-229-3000. Dr. Sherry Denham, Dr. Dave Stoop. Of course, Dave and I, we edited the Life Recovery Bible. And you can get a copy of that by going to newlife.com or 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's where you find it. We'll take this break and come back with your phone calls, 1-800-229-3000. Come join us.
My clothes are falling off of me. People are making comments. I would pick up my food. I was running every day, 6 miles a day. And I got to the point where I was afraid to drink water because I didn't want to gain water weight.
10 million women and girls have eating disorders. Anorexia or bulimia isn't a diet, it's a disease.
My parents knew then that something had to be done immediately.
New Life's Eating Disorders Treatment Clinic can help.
You see that everybody that works there loves God and is wanting to help you.
For more information about our eating disorder treatment clinic, call New Life today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Find hope for your child to begin healing and embrace life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I decided that I wanted to work with eating disorders and help save people's lives on a daily basis.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I know that with God and Renuda that my life was spared.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
All right, we're back. Steve Arterburn here. Let's go right now over to Sarah from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. WFIL is the station. And, you know, we were, just want to mention, we were in this past week, we were there in D.C. with WAVA. We had such a great time. We had a pastor's, we participated in their pastor's appreciation. How much fun that was, talking to those pastors. Wow. I just had the best time. And then we got to see our listeners in two different locations. It was wonderful.
Good weekend.
All right, Sarah from Philadelphia. How can we help you today?
Hi, thank you.
Sure.
I'm actually calling to ask Dave a specific question, if that's all right.
All right, oh, Sherry, let's go take it.
He's on the hot seat.
Let's go get a cup of coffee, Sherry. All right.
I'll sit here and watch him sweat, Sarah.
What is the question for Big Wave Dave?
Well, about a year ago, when I went back to the transcripts to make sure that I got this right, he had counseled someone saying that love is not an absolute necessary ingredient for a good, solid, happy, and joyful marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And went on to say there are times you don't feel loving, but you made a commitment, and when you behave in loving ways, the feelings of love always come back.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, what if that doesn't happen, or what if you feel... you know you love the person, but you don't feel desire. Can the desire come back?
Well, you're talking about attraction. When you say desire, I don't feel attracted to them physically, sexually.
Right.
That's separate from love. I mean, you know, there are a lot of arranged marriages in other cultures that are very loving. And there was no love in the beginning. The love was the result of what they did in the relationship. And I think, you know, there's some interesting research on attraction that says that if you really have a high attraction to someone, that's a danger signal, because that means your issues are going to really collide and there's going to be a lot of conflict. And if you don't have any, that's also a danger. You want kind of in the middle. But I always look at the attraction being a part of communication, that somehow we're not communicating with each other. We're not being vulnerable. We're not being open. And I think that if you can be vulnerable and be open, that attraction can grow. There's some research looking at long-term marriages and how the sexual attraction kind of diminishes. But then there's also those examples where it builds and wanes and builds and wanes. It's just kind of like the waves of the ocean. You know, they come in and there's waves and troughs, kind of a thing. Okay. But I think that, the more you can be vulnerable with the other person and the more you can play and have fun, those are the things that seem to be related to passion and to attraction.
Sarah, I know you're not asking me, but I have 2 cents on this, okay?
But I appreciate it.
I would say... don't work on your attraction. Work on your acceptance. Accepting whatever has gone on that was hurtful, accepting the things that you don't really like about this person, the things that bug you, coming to accept them wholly, which involves forgiving, then you can be attracted. But if you don't accept them for who they are, if you're still... complaining that it's not this, it should be this, picking inside your head. You're picking on that person, and everything they do is irritating. It's an indication there hasn't been this acceptance of them as a flawed, hurting human being, whatever. And I don't think you're going to find the attraction until you can accept. Now, tell me where you are on the acceptance chart. 1 to 10, I totally accept this person. 1, not too accepting.
I guess now that you put it that way, I thought I was much higher to 10, but I'm probably more like a 5.
About a 5. Mm-hmm. Well, it's something to look at.
Okay.
Yeah, Sarah, I'm just so curious. You know, anyone that would go back a year and look at the transcripts to make sure you heard Dave right, this question
wow,
is
really important.
Well, that
shows just how
important
what I say, too.
My husband feels very unloved and undesired, and I can't hide the change in me and how I don't feel the way I used to feel. And it didn't just happen spontaneously. Obviously, there were problems, but I don't know how to get it back, and mm-hmm. I've been almost waiting, praying,
well,
trying to be accepting for over a
yeah.
year.
Well, who's so much better than him that you know? What man is so much better than him?
I don't know, but I imagine an anonymous, faceless person when I'm with him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I think part of what you're starting to say, Sarah, is that there have been some hurts and some things that have caused you to pull away and to shut down.
We are definitely disconnected. And yeah. I believe and I feel that I've shown this to him, that I've forgiven him for some issues that we've had. But one day something clicked in me that said he was never really going to want me or want to be married to me or be able to say it. And when he finally did and has shown me consistently over and over for the past couple years that he is loving and cares about me and is committed to me and dotes on me and is sweet, and I just can't seem to go back to the way it was. I don't know how to unlock.
No, that's a trust issue, and it's like you're afraid to. And that's when I was talking about the vulnerability. That's where I would begin.
Yeah, Dave just hit it right on the head, Sarah, because I heard when you said he never wanted to marry and that he would never be lovingly married to me. You made an agreement 2 years ago with a belief. And the very fact that your husband has shown you differently that, he's trying to prove it to you, but you're holding on to that belief, because as long as you hold on to that agreement, you won't have to unveil. You're not going to have to let go of your fear of trusting and move towards him. And so you're going to create a standard so high, something so high that he can't even jump it. He, some perfect goal. So that's the nameless, faceless person. Nobody can reach that, not even you. So do you see how that's setting you up to keep yourself from connection?
And from hurt.
Yeah.
The possibility of hurt.
It's like you made a vow, I will never be hurt. I will never be vulnerable. And the vow becomes more powerful than your marriage vows.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It comes to rule your life. So I guess kind of sum it up, we're saying what's happening there makes sense that it would be happening. And that means that there's a fix to it.
You know, one of the interesting fixes to it, you know, we did a survey some years ago when we did the book When Couples Pray Together, and we just really are strong on that. And we had more people report back that when they started praying together, their sexual life totally improved.
Hmm.
And there's something that I heard that the Campus Crusade used to say, I don't know if they still do or not, that if you're just engaged, don't pray together until you get married, because praying together stimulates the same part of the brain as attraction and sexuality.
Hmm.
So there may be something about developing, you know, I think what it is if you develop spiritual intimacy with each other, that really gets at the core of who we are. And you do that by reading the Bible together, praying together, talking together about what you're reading. Watch what happens if that doesn't kind of lower the fear and lower the barriers within your heart, and you begin to let him get close again. But It's probably your vulnerability that's really going to be important in this process, Sarah.
I'm going to send you Every Woman's Marriage, and I hope that that will be of help to you. Dave, is there...
And thanks for checking up on me.
Yeah.
Well, just us. Like
just us.
Devotional for couples, yes.
Yeah, I hope that that'll be a blessing to you. Dave.
Let me talk about something. When Mylon and Kay and Jan and I are doing our marriage weekend...
May 13th in D.C.
In D.C.
Yeah.
One of the things, and Sarah, you ought to come to that and bring your husband. One of the things that I'm going to talk about are the four degrees of love. It comes from an old book from the 12th century by Bernard of Clairvaux. He talks about it in relationship to God, but it's very applicable in relationship to each other. When you first fall in love, you fall in love with somebody else. I love you because you fulfill something in me.
Right.
That's the foundation. Then you move to, I love you for what you do for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you cook for me, you feed me, you take care of me. Then you move to, I love you for who you are.
Mm-hmm.
See, and that's where Sarah's kind of stuck, is between those two. And the final one, and Bernard said, you know, in relationship to God, you never quite accomplish that one. It's, I love me because of the way you love me. That's a pretty intense kind of love.
That is. Mm.
So we're going to talk about that in the opening session and go in depth. But it's kind of like you can rate yourself where you are on that. And your goal is to get to that last place.
But also, if you think about it from this perspective, if you want your mate to be different, doesn't work nagging, complaining. Mm. But if you love them so much that they came to love themselves, they would abandon some of those things or they would heal some of them or
exactly.
correct them
mm-hmm.
because they love themselves.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. Very good. Let's talk to Kim. She's a Club New Life member. She watches us on Family Net, and we're glad she does. Hi, Kim.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. Listen, I've been saying 32 years, my husband and I talking about how we want to, you know, end our lives, what kind of funeral we want to have.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him I wanted to be cremated. I don't want a service, even though I belong to a wonderful church that would say how wonderful I am. I don't want that.
Why don't you want that? Why don't you want that?
I don't want all that. I don't want that.
Well, you won't be there, so you won't even know.
But
come on.
Did you know that the funeral has nothing to do with you? It has to do with an opportunity for people to bring closure to their relationship with you.
Yeah, it's for the other people.
It's for them to process the loss that they have. And so then, you know, in 4 days when they have some kind of thought come up, inside it says, yeah, I went to her funeral. She's not here anymore. I need to accept that. And then they can move on.
A bell just went off. Another question: Is it okay to be cremated?
My wife and I have that discussion because I want to be cremated, and she says, "No, you got to keep the bones. You know, you go back to the Old Testament with Joseph or Jacob wanting his bones to be carried to the Holy Land, and that there's some element to that. But what if somebody is in a fiery building and they're totally cremated, just you know, alive?
I
don't think there's any problem with what, you know, when Jesus comes back, it'll all come together and we have new bodies anyway. So.
Yeah, my view is that we all turn to dust eventually if we, and that the cremation is the dust acceleration program.
There you go.
That just gets you there faster than in the ground and saves real estate.
Yeah.
So cremation's okay?
I don't think there's anything in the Bible that forbids it, and I don't think it could be anything in the Bible that forbids it, because there are people who are cremated in the way that they die. You know, you're in a fiery crash, or you're in an airplane that crashes and burns, and everybody is you know, you can't find anybody.
9/11. For many people, there was nothing.
There
were vaporized.
Nothing. You had a finger or something, you know, maybe. So
that was no choice. So it's okay to be cremated.
But,
I don't like the body. I don't like all that makeup. I don't like the smell.
But
I want to be cremated, and that's okay.
Yeah, there's nothing in the Bible against that, because it's something that happens to people, and God can handle that at the second coming. You don't have to worry about it. You get a new body.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Are you just afraid people look down at that casket and say she's never looked better?
No.
Wouldn't that be horrible?
No, I just haven't liked it.
Yeah, okay. All right.
You answered my question. Thank you so much.
Okay. Talk to you later. Thanks for calling. I'll send you a Life Recovery Bible. Be sure that you're headed up and out. All right. 1-800-229-3000. That's the phone number to call. Let me read you a letter from a listener. I listen to the radio Monday through Friday, 1 to 2, while I'm eating lunch, and I pray for your team and also for your callers. There are so many hurting people. We're always surprised when it's happening in our own families. Thanks for being on radio. I want to send you $5 a month to your ministry. That may not be much, but it's what I'm led to send. The Lord said to me, Sarah, you can't do everything, but you can do something. I pray this ministry will continue and others will support it. What a great letter. Never, ever too small a gift. And we so respect the sacrifice that people make, and we do the best we can. If you have never given to this ministry, please think about right now picking up the phone, calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Or if you've given, if you can help us even more, we sure do need it. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's the number to call. We'll be back right after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
Cool. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Dave Stoop and Dr. Sherry Denham. We'll go to the phones, talk with Kathy. Our number, if you want to join us, 1-800-229-3000. Hi, Kathy.
Hi. I was calling because I was in a recent relationship with my fiancé who masturbates and deals with pornography, and I was thinking about just breaking off the relationship because the mom is all in the business, and she wants to know very personal information, and I just don't think that that's correct, and the mom's not in church. He was in church, but he dropped out, and I am a born-again believer, and I just don't think this is really for me, so I just need some clarification on it.
Have you been dating in more than 5 years?
No.
How long have you dated?
Good.
About 6 months.
Six months.
Oh, good for you.
Well, I would, you know, it's one thing to have a fiance that's into pornography who confesses and says, I'm going to go get some help for this, and I hope you'll allow me time to work on this. It's another one for somebody to just be continuing and not really sensitive to you. And how come you're his fiance after 6 months? When did you get engaged?
We got engaged about 2 months ago.
Okay, so you dated him 3 months and said, let's get engaged.
Well, it's a total of 6 months. 4 months, and then we decided we were going to get married.
Mm-hmm. And then you discovered he had a little bit of a problem?
Yeah, it actually came out. He actually came out and told me
that,
you know, there was an issue with him with that. Okay. So I said, wait a minute. I think I better beg out of this why I'm safe.
Well, see, the thing is, if you do, it might motivate him to get help. But if you don't, it will demotivate him from ever getting help. And he'll think, well, hey, she's okay with me having this little struggle. So you really can't win.
Well, you can if you say, you know, I'm done unless you get this problem dealt with.
Right.
And, you know, we have the means to do that with Every Man's Battle and all, and the resources.
That's what I'd be saying. Mm-hmm. If you go to Every Man's Battle, maybe we've got a chance. But if you don't, then obviously it's not worth it to you to be the man that I want to marry.
Right. And where is that Every Man's Battle? Where is that?
We do it in a different location every month.
Every month.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So.
And then what radio station are you guys on?
We're on, let's see, you're from WYLL is the station. I don't know the number. I'll try to, if you'll continue to listen, I'll try to get you the number of WYLL. They're in the Chicago area.
She's on watching on television, right?
Yeah, but she's what station in the radio, I think. That's what she meant. But anyway, I am
We can tell her off line.
Yeah, we'll tell
we
you
can
off
tell you where they are
right,
and what's
good,
coming
good
up.
Thought.
Kathy, I just want to say I'm really proud of you.
Yeah.
That you took a stand, that you rose up, made a phone call, and listened to yourself, listened to the caution. You know, there's a lot of women that discount that. And that say, well, all men do this. And the truth is, all men don't struggle. And so to see that and to have it present a warning sign to you and to have honest conversation with him, I am really proud of you.
Yeah, and I think it's more typical that, and this is why I asked you about how long you'd been engaged, that we hear this from somebody that's been engaged 4 years and he won't commit and the person's desperate. You're really taking care of this problem when it should be. And that's early on. He needs to become a man and he needs to get his mother out of your business.
Thank you.
And that's probably going to be more difficult for him to do than to deal with the pornography.
Kind of connected too. Yeah.
Tell us how they're kind of connected, Dave.
Well, guys who have an over-involved mom are really afraid of women and afraid of sex.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you can control it when it's pornography, but you can't control it in real life. And, you know, so if mom is running my life, it's like I'm still a little boy. I'm not ready for real sex.
See how smart Dave is.
He feels that he's going to deliver himself. You know, he's going to.
That's a bigger red flag than anything, right there.
That's not acceptable, Kathy. You tell him, no, sir. You got to get help from somebody else because this is bigger than you.
Because you know what, you deserve a man who's humble, and knows he's powerless under his own power, and that God is the one that provides that power. That's what you deserve, smart lady like you.
Well, thank you.
All right.
Glory to God. Thank you. Hallelujah for that one.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to send you Every Man's Battle to give to him, and I'll send you Every Woman's Battle for yourself, and I hope that that'll be a blessing to you. Wow. Pretty amazing.
Yeah, it is. You know,
good for her.
Just to say something, to stop. So often women are really intimidated.
Yeah.
Because they just, it's scary to confront
that.
It's scary to talk about it. And they are like, what's wrong with me? They start kind of owning it and taking responsibility. Maybe if I just was more attractive to him, then maybe he might not have to go.
You can't compete, though, with what's on the screen.
There's no competition in that world.
When it comes to dating somebody that's destructive and all that, you either trust God or you don't.
Yeah.
You either don't trust God and say, this is the best I can do. I'm never going to marry. It's going to be horrible. Or I trust God. I do the right thing.
Yeah.
And even if I'm single for the rest of my life, it's better than signing up for that thing there.
Yeah.
You do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come right back after this. And glad you're with us today. 1-800-229-3000. We're in the studio all day today. 1-800-229-3000. Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Sherry Denham. And want to be sure that if you're in the Indianapolis area, I'm going to be preaching at Heartland Church April the 10th and May the 8th. Would love to see you there. And every Sunday night at 6 o'clock, we have the New Life Transformation Center meeting. It's a speaker meeting. Come join us at Heartland Church, 9669.
You think I'm a great person, full of life and fun to be around. You say you love me, but if you knew what was going on in my head, I don't think you'd love me anymore. I saw my first girly magazine when I was 7, and I was hooked. I look at porn every chance I get. I've tried to stop over and over again. Sometimes it works for a couple days, but then I fall right back into my old ways.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I want to stop. I need help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places, and New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense, and I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
All right, let's talk with Lee LeAnn. LeAnn from Peoria, Illinois, Sirius Satellite Radio. Is it LeAnn or LeAnn? Or?
LeAnn.
LeAnn. Hi, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, and I feel like it's very interesting that I was able to get through to you today, because I've tried to call you guys time and time again, but maybe I'm hoping today there's a reason that I got through to you.
Okay.
Quite frankly, I don't know what to say differently, but I feel so much in a way like Job. My family has been attacked from so many sides. And
well, tell us how.
We have been through so much in the last 3 years. My family, we own two businesses. Both of those businesses have really struggled to stay paying all the bills and paying all the taxes and things. And, of course, those are directly related to our home and everything. And it's been a very stressful environment. We work between 60 and 80 hours a week, both my husband and myself. We've had two miscarriages, and then just about 6 months ago I lost my son.
Oh, I'm so sorry. So sorry.
What happened?
As an infant,
he was
born and developed a blood clot and passed away. He was completely normal.
Mm. Oh, my goodness.
How old was he? How old was he?
Just a day.
A day old.
But we were so excited because we had, you know, you pass the threshold that you think everything is going to be fine, especially after having two miscarriages before. And I am having a hard time with maintaining hope and joy.
Sure.
And I don't know where to start.
Well, you know, we call that catastrophic loss, what you've been through, and it's
definitely
so sorry. So sorry.
You know, there was Catherine Marshall. Peter Marshall's wife was holding her grandbaby who was dying. And she said, and I've never forgotten that, she said that she prayed, "God, I'd rather have your presence in my life than understanding." She didn't want to she didn't want to understand why this was happening. She said, "I'd rather be in your presence than to understand." And you've got to be careful that you don't try to understand why all this is happening. And you said you're a lot like Job, and Job never understood what went on. You know, I've always read that book and said, if I was God, I'd have come in and I'd said, "Hey, Job, come here. Let me tell you what's been going on." You know, Satan and I had this conversation. I'm sorry. But he never does that. He never tells Job what went on. We know, but he never did. But all God did was just expand Job's understanding of the richness, the majesty, the power of God. And I think that's the only thing you can do, Leanne, is to really get in touch with the reality of God in spite of what's going on. And the big danger is, I got to understand, you know, God's not fair. Things are, you know, and Job went through all that. He argued his case, and finally he said, you know, in the middle of God's revelation to him of who he was, he says, "I put my hand over my mouth." He said, "I said too much. I'm going to shut up now." And then he repents, and I think the only thing he could repent of was an inadequate view of God. And God never condemns him for questioning and for defending himself, saying, "I'm righteous. It has nothing to do with my sin." He condemns the guys who are trying to comfort him. But, you know, Job never got an answer, and you'll probably never get an answer as to why all this is happening at this time. You just want to know that God is bigger than all of this, and that he loves you, and he cares for you, and he walks beside you, and he weeps with you.
It's hard to want, I don't know how to describe it, but little things that do happen that seem to be very positive at the time, I'm almost to the point where I'm scared to have those things happen because I know horrible negative things are on the way. You know what I'm saying?
Leanne?
I'm catching.
I want to be sure that you're not thinking that because you're a Christian, you should have a different feeling or see things differently. I mean, don't think anything other than you're right on schedule in the effects of grief and pain and sorrow and suffering. And you really, you know, just, you're not weaker or it, no one has the ability to do any better than you are right now.
You know, James says, "Count it all joy when trials come your way." And the reason is because God is at work. And right now it's too painful to see where he is, but just know that he is. And you're going to grow a lot. And I heard Gary Smalley speak on this, and he says, "When I get a trial, I say, yay, something good's going to happen in my growth, you know, in my relationship with God." But you've had way too many things happen, and you just need to be careful and make sure you have people around you that love you and don't, you know, don't tear down your faith.
Yeah, and you know, catastrophic loss, as Steve said, is so difficult. And a lot of times when we have those losses, traumas, you know, we will... I heard you say, Leanne, that you have had these lovely, positive, wonderful things coming into your life, but you're having a hard time taking them in because you're so fearful that some horrible things are going to happen right around the bend.
Wait for the other shoe to fall. Yeah.
And I hear what you're saying is it's true. And darling, that is a lie. That is a lie right out of the enemy's mouth for you. Because God is trying to send in some cords, gold strands, sacred cords of hope and love for you. And the enemy wants you to believe that God's heart's not good, especially in the midst of this difficult time. And so please, sister, I want to bring truth to you, which that God is good. The situation is horrible. But that God can bring redemption, even on the heels of loss. He can bring goodness to you. Look for it. Embrace it. He's trying to rescue your heart right now. Do you know that?
I feel like I really think in a lot of ways with all the trauma and the turmoil that's been in my life, in some ways I don't think it's been horrible because I know it has brought me closer to him.
Yes.
And I know it's brought my family closer to him. But I also have gotten to the point where I'm like, dear God, there is not the bread to mold. There's not much left of me to mold into what I feel like you're wanting. It, and I don't know what I don't even know what he's wanting. I, like you say, I don't know the reason, but I just, you know, my clay is weak, and I don't know what else.
Well, let
to be molded into at this point,
darling. Then let the potter hold you. Let the potter hold you as the clay.
Yeah.
Don't fight him. Let him hold you in this time and space. Mm-hmm. Let him remold you. Let him just hold you.
What is that? I don't even know what that feels like. Will you explain that better? Because honestly, I'm a doer. I feel like I
know.
I always have to be going, and I don't know how to be held.
I know, and that's exactly what he's inviting you into. He's inviting you into a really deep, intimate place. A lot of times as clay vessels, as a pot, you're kind of like, well, God, I'm trying to shape this pot. This has been so devastating. I got cracks all over the place in my pot, right? Or the clay. You're just saying, how can I get out of this? I want to squirm my way out of it. And the Lord says, just let me be with you. Don't fight him. Just sit in his presence. Just cry and say, come in and hold me. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know. I haven't experienced this before, God. It's a new thing for me, but will you just meet me here in this really dark place? And he will show up and embrace the goodness of him when he does.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So sorry. So sorry what you're going through. Let me send you healing as a choice. I think I've got the devotional, too, that would help you. But God bless you. And I just pray, Lord, I pray for Leanne. I pray that she would experience healing and that she would experience your presence in the midst of her grief. I pray for her, and I pray for her comfort.
And for her family and her husband.
Yes.
Lost
in your name,
heart.
We ask you to be with her. Amen.
Amen.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back.
There's also a part of grieving that's often overlooked, and that's the protest part, where I'm angry.
Yeah.
And women have a hard time with that, and you almost need someone to hold you while you experience that too, Leanne.
Okay. We'll take a break and come right back. 1-800-229-3000. We're in the studio 6 hours today. 1-800-229-3000. Dr. Sherry Denham, Dr. Dave Stoop, and your phone calls. If you are interested in one of the resources that we love around here, it's the new book by Mylon and Kay Yurkovich, How We Love Our Kids. So if you'd like a copy, call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and order one. Or support the ministry and we'll give it to you as a gift. We'll be back after this.
Hi, everybody. Max Locato here. You know, I've been a pastor for over 25 years, and in the process, I've been fortunate to cross paths a few times with Steve Arterburn and his team at New Life. And I can tell you for a fact that these are good people doing real ministry work where the rubber meets the road. One of the ways they help people is through their New Life Weekend. The Apostle Paul writes about finding the transformation that comes from the renewing of your mind. That's what these folks at New Life specialize in. Whether you struggle with anger, unforgiveness, depression, grief, boundaries issues, maybe you've never worked through the pain of a past abortion, maybe you need a marriage tune-up, maybe your marriage is in crisis. Listen, these good people can help you. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 and ask about the New Life Weekend.
Experience New Life in the Holy Land June 6th through the 16th. Join Steve Arterburn, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Sherry Denham, and Mylon Yurkovich of New Life Live for a daily time of teaching. You'll have the experience of a lifetime visiting the places where the events of Scripture really happened. Jerusalem, the Sea of Galilee, the Mount of Olives, Masada, and much more. Not only will you see the sites that bring history and Scripture to life, but Stephen Curtis Chapman will perform a once-in-a-lifetime private concert. Out of these ashes, beauty will rise, and we will dance along the way. We will see it. If there was ever a trip you don't want to miss, this is it. Experience new life in the Holy Land June 6th through the 16th. Call and sign up today at 1-800-223-3855. Or for more information, visit newlife.com. Visit Israel. You will never be the same.
To find out more information about New Life, or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. These are the bibs for our race for New Life. You can find out about it at newlife.com or by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE. You run, you get support, and you help us. And it's really an exciting thing. Everybody's involved, and you have to do it by the 17th of April. And you just get somebody to support you for, I don't know, $11 a mile or something like that. But find out about this race. It really is an amazing race, and all of the money goes to buy radio time and television time right here. So you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com.
But the deal is, get a lot of people to underwrite you.
Exactly.
And if you raise the most money,
thank you, Dave.
What happens?
And Dave is driving the pace car. But if you, yes, if you raise the most money, you get a trip out here to see us, and we would love we'd love to meet you. All right. Let's talk with where am I?
Right there.
Chicago, Illinois, WYLL. Hello, Chicago. Chicago.
Hello.
Maria?
Hi.
Are you there?
Maria.
Okay. Tell them your name's Maria, not Chicago.
Okay.
How
can we help you today?
Hi. Yeah, I've been dating this guy for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't seem to be able to commit to marriage, and he has some triggers from our relationship. And so I'm just wondering if I'm just simply demanding too much or if I'm investing my time when I shouldn't be.
What is it in your life that has created this desperation that would hang on to a man who couldn't commit?
Well, he is the one that led me to Christ.
Okay, that's a good thing that he led you to Christ.
Yeah, he also has been there for me when I met my birth parents. I was adopted, and he was also there for me when my dad died, and then my grandma, I took care of her until she died. Mm-hmm. So he's been with me through some, you know, pretty deep things.
Wow.
And,
so you have a history together.
Yeah,
now,
yeah.
And you've bonded.
On,
yeah. You've really bonded on
now,
some difficult
things. Now, do you ask him about why don't you commit to me? Why don't we get married?
Yeah, well,
and what does he say?
When I first met him, he did tell me that he never wanted to be married. And, you know, I was kind of stupid, and I was just like, oh, you hadn't met the right person.
Mm-hmm.
As I got, you know, saved and started walking with the Lord, we've talked about it more, but I kind of lashed out on him, I guess. Just built a trigger as I went through some of the pain in my life. And so he just, he came back in the fall. He said he was ready to commit and everything. But then as I've watched, you know, these several months, now he's at a stage where he's back to where he doesn't want
right
to commit.
Well, Maria, I think the best thing you could do, and I want to hear from Sherry, but I think the best thing that you could do is to say to him, I love you. I'll probably always love you in some way. You'll always be part of my heart. Thank you for bringing me to the Lord. Thanks for being there for me. But I really want to get married and have some kids. And we're not going anywhere. And it's going to be the most painful thing I ever do. But we simply have to end this so you can live this life that you want. And I can find the things that I think God has for me. Sherry, what do you think?
How did that feel to hear Steve say that, Maria?
Well, it's, you know, it's not like I haven't considered it. I just want to be, I don't want to be demanding. I don't want to be selfish. Like, I know we
it's
both
It's 4 years.
Each other.
Yeah.
You're not demanding.
Well, this is what I think might be going on. One, he was really honest with you at the beginning. He said, I never want to be married. All right. So what does that tell you about a man who's willing to verbalize that he's not wanting to be married? There's something in his backstory, right, that he fears relationship. He fears being trapped, getting close. Something, you know, I don't even know his history, but that tells me everything I need to know, that he's avoiding intimacy and avoiding getting into a situation where he's going to feel trapped. And so here you are attracted to an avoidant male, right?
Yeah.
Trying to maybe save him, convert him, heal him, right? And
well,
so,
not, yeah, go ahead.
Well, you're waiting. You waited a long time. And here you are. You've got some roots in adoption, right? You were adopted. And wanting to put your roots down someplace else, but he's not letting you put them in his pot.
Mm-hmm.
So Steve's right. The most difficult thing you can do is to go find a pot that's willing to allow you to put your roots down where you can bloom and blossom mm-hmm. and get life.
Yeah.
Well, let me underscore what they're both saying to you, Maria. There's, and I'll go to the research again. If you haven't married by 2 years, you won't.
Mm.
You know, or it doesn't mean you have to be married in 2 years. If you haven't, you know, got the plan set 2 years, typically you will not get married. Mm-hmm. And you've been doing this for 4 years. You wondered if you were wasting your time. You are now. You had some good things come out of it. And as they said, you'll probably always love him and care about him. But he's not a pot that's going to allow mm-hmm. anybody to put their roots mm-hmm. in.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to send you Avoiding Mr. Wrong, and I hope that that'll help you. And we're so sorry for what the best decision is, but you'll be glad you did it if you will do it. Hey, New Life is going to Israel. I want to play this this clip of on the temple steps of Israel, the very steps that Jesus walked up. We're going to do a concert right around here with Stephen Curtis Chapman. Dr. John Townsend's going, Mylon and Sherry, and here we are on the temple steps. Watch this.
Here on the steps, the very steps that Jesus walked up, went through that gate that's closed off now, and went into the temple. You have to experience walking the very steps of Christ. Come experience new life in the Holy Land with us in June 2011.
All right. I hope you will join us. You can find out about it at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com. Also, we have over 900 Christian counselors around this country. If you call 1-800-NEW-LIFE, we can recommend one of those or one of our New Life weekends, the Transformation Weekend, which whatever problem you have, we'll deal with it at that weekend, or the Marriage Weekend that's coming up in May, or Lose It for Life at the end of the year. And then Dr. Sherry Denham is going to be doing Wives in the Battle, Every Heart Restored material there for women who are married to somebody who's struggling with sexual integrity. You call us and we'll tell you all about that. And then please support us. It's $110 for 1 day of airtime in your area. Please support this ministry by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE. As we close out the program, Dave, what's our scripture for today?
Well, I was reading the story of Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel, and when his sanity comes back.
After 7 years of being
eating grass,
yeah,
and being an animal.
A wolf.
he talks about God. He says his rule is everlasting, his kingdom is eternal. And then he says no one can stop him or say to him, what do you mean by doing these things? And I thought, well, that's, you know, kind of what we were saying to one of the callers. It's no point in asking why.
Yeah.
Just let him hold you and comfort you and love
That's
you.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, we love you, and we hope and pray that something we said here would apply to your life. A principle that we've given someone else would apply to your circumstance. As I said before, we need your help, and we want to help you also. And the number to call for both of those things is 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll be in the studio, so if you want to join us, 1-800-229-3000. This afternoon, we'll be talking about adolescence. So you can call us in about 4 hours, and we'll have an expert here. We love you. We thank you. And see you next time here on New Life Live. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.